Thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
Hey, you're listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour-long show. If you're enjoying the songs and would like to hear them in full, along with all the interviews, tips and chat, just catch the full show plus some extra tracks that you might have missed on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. with new episodes every other week. But for now, enjoy the Happy Hour podcast. Welcome to the Happy Hour with Holly and Paulina.
It's your hour of conversations around sight loss, mental health and well-being, all mixed in with some great music, of course.
Of course, just like this track from Emily Sandé, It's Next to Me. You're listening to The Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio.
Welcome to the show. Paulina Kuhorov here, and with me, it's of course my friend and my friendly co-host, Holly Tuke. And she's all revving to share some great tips for looking after our well-being throughout this year.
Yep. Today on the show, we're going to chat staying fit through rollerblading. And we're also going to be getting quite booky as well.
Indeed, I'll be chatting with the founder of the Society of Happy People, Pamela Gail Johnson, about her book, Practical Happiness.
Plus, RNIB's Technology for Life team will explain how we can use the Orbit Reader to access electronic braille books on the RNIB reading services.
So lots coming up, and we're chatting 31 types of happiness and discovering what happiness zappers are after this rock classic from Marillion. You're listening to the Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio. Now, how do we find happiness? It's a question that many of us struggle with on a day-to-day basis, but what if I told you there is a practical guide that could help? Practical Happiness is a new audiobook that's just been released by author and founder of the Society of Happy People, Pamela Gail Johnson. And Pamela is actually here with me to share some of that knowledge when it comes to chasing this elusive happiness. Pamela, it is so nice to have you here with us.
Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Before we chat about your book, tell us a little bit more about the Society of Happy People.
Well, we started over 20 years ago, so about 23, 24 years ago. We started kind of at what I would call the height of the self-help movement. We didn't have podcasts at that point, but we had talk radio, we had talk TV, books, workshops, seminars, everything really sort of centered around kind of our emotional wounds that we had received up to that point from childhood, you know, on. And I just sort of started asking myself, well, where are all the happy people? That's not to say these wounds aren't real, but it was also like, you know, there's a lot of happiness that still takes place in life. So where are all the happy people? And I originally thought it would just be a funny humor essay about a club called, and at the time we were called Secret Society of Happy People. So about a club called the Secret Society of Happy People. And people, when I tell them about my idea for the essay, people would say, oh, let me know when you start it. I want to join. And so about a year later, I went ahead and kind of started it. So creating just a tribe for people who wanted to celebrate happiness.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. And you're based in America, am I right?
Well, we are based in America. We are global. We have members from just all over the world. I'd have to actually go look at the country counts. So we have members from most countries. If you have internet, you can access us. And we also started the first three happiness holidays that I'm aware of. So we've been celebrating them now all for over 20 years. I'm often told by social media posts that our Happiness Happens Day, which is in August, it's August 8th, and Happiness Happens Month, which is in August. The UK probably celebrates it as much as America or anywhere else in the world. Lots of organizations participate in that.
Wow, so you're obviously quite busy with the society, but you do have the book. Now, the full title is Practical Happiness, Four Principles to Improve Your Life. So what inspired you to pick up the pen and write?
Actually, at our 20-year anniversary, a reporter asked me, he said, what have you learned about happiness over the past 20 years? So it kind of just got me thinking. I'm like, well, what have I really learned? And ironically, I wouldn't say I had learned that much, but I did go put the foundation in place of sort of what the society had always stood for. We never told people that unhappiness didn't happen. We've always thought happiness was personal and you know, happiness changes and happiness is bigger than you think. So those became the four principles of the book.
You said one of the principles was not really having to be happy 100% of the time, because I feel like sometimes we have this weird misconception that we should be happy 100% of the time, and if we're not, something's wrong with us.
Well, that's our second principle, which is we call them happiness zappers, and we say happiness zappers are manageable. And I think every single day we're going to wake up and there's going to be something that's trying to zap at our happiness. Now, it ranges in degrees. And we actually, like I said, have five types of happiness zappers. So again, how we manage those is what really does determine a lot of our happiness.
You're kind of forcing us to think a bit more about, I guess we have to take ownership and work a little bit to attain this happiness. It doesn't just come to us or show up at our doorstep out of nowhere.
I do think we have happiness moments. So, okay, let's use this for an example. I think we would all agree that if you're at a wedding, that would just be, we would call that a happy moment. We would call that a happy event, and there's a lot of happiness. Having said that, if you're part of the bridal party or you're super close to the family or whatever, you're probably going to be aware, like I have never attended one, that there's not a little bit of chaos going on somewhere, whether it's a family situation, you've got, you know, aunt somebody dancing on a table, or if it's something going on with the actual logistics of the wedding itself. You have some chaos that's taking place even in the midst of this super happy event. Conversely, if you're at a funeral, we would all agree that's a happiness zapping event. That's a sadness. People are grieving. But there's also people standing around celebrating that person's life, and they're having nostalgic memories. And nostalgia is a type of happiness. So happiness and unhappiness can be somewhat intertwined. So they're not totally exclusive of each other.
So it's in a way forcing us to maybe think a bit differently about life and approach happiness a bit differently and change our attitude when it comes to it as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's about having a happiness mindset. So let's say a happiness zapper is taking place. And we divide those again into five categories. So one is unhappiness, which is, those are the biggies. Those are loss, death being the biggest of a person or a pet we love. But loss can also be if you're going through a divorce or you're having an estrangement with somebody in your family or a really close friend. It can be a health challenge, something. All of a sudden your doctor is saying, hey, you can't eat blah, blah, blah anymore. And I'm wanting you to exercise 30 minutes a day. And you're like, hey, that's just not my, you're losing a lifestyle maybe you enjoyed. So there's a loss that can be to that. We've all gone through with a pandemic, a loss of what we would call our normal life, so to speak. We've had to change how we perceive stuff. And so there's a loss that goes with that. So anytime you're dealing with a loss that you didn't want, unlike, let's say, if you lose 20 pounds, most of us are pretty happy that we do that. But if you're dealing with an unwanted loss, there's a grieving process that goes with that. So that unhappiness takes longer to work through, but it doesn't mean zero happy moments, you know, happened while you're going through that grieving process. They did. You just have to look for them. Now, there's the next four. They're a little bit more manageable, like stress. I don't know anybody who doesn't experience some kind of stress every day. And there's also good stress, but you still have to manage it or it'll overtake you. So we all have to figure out what our management technique is. And we like to call them Zap Maps. So Zapper Management Action Plans. We help you create a Zap Map in the book. So stress is one. The next one is fear. There's legitimate fears. And if, let's say, you're in a burning house and, you know, you need to call your fire department to deal with that. That's a very legitimate type of fear. But a lot of our fears are in our mind. So we don't apply for a new job, or we don't go say hi to a person we might want to meet, or we don't go try a new activity because we're afraid we might not be good at it. So those are fears that we have to manage that sometimes stop us from finding some happiness. Then chaos. We can all have days or moments when life is chaotic. So maybe your alarm doesn't go off, your dog's running down the street, your kids aren't helping you get out the door. There could be moments of chaos, but chaos is usually temporary. And then the final one is annoyances. Annoyances are those things that somebody maybe isn't as polite to you as you thought they should be, or they didn't respond in a way you thought they should, or you left to get somewhere late and you get stuck in traffic. I give people the benchmark question here of, will you remember this a year from now? And if your answer is no, then you just, you know, go ahead and try to let it go. Well, however you do that, put it in a God box, get some bubbles and blow one so it floats to the sky, whatever, put it on a piece of paper, tear it up, whatever your let go method is. You, again, the way we manage those moments really does impact our happiness, possibly more than the actual unhappy moment itself.
Now, you've explained it so well, but I do have to say, when I read your book, the thing that I guess I didn't expect to find there was homework.
Well, I wanted people to personalize these principles. And so the homework, if you, as you call it, the homework helps you do that so that you can actually create your own, you know, Zapper Management Action Plan for a particular situation in your life. And again, it may change. So you may start, let's say you're having a Zapper moment with a boss at work. And as that situation changes, your plan to manage it may change. Or sometimes we just don't sit down and think about happiness other than we just think we should feel happy. And I think happiness, which gets to the fourth principle, is bigger than you think. But it's not only bigger than you think, it's also, there's sort of degrees of happiness. So let's say you just went through a chaotic happiness zapping moment and your energy is just low and you're not feeling the funny happy, or you're not feeling excited. You might just be relieved the chaotic moment is over. And because you feel better than you felt the moment before, you feel good. That's happiness. Happiness is when we naturally feel good. And that's a big part of redefining happiness so we experience more of it.
I feel like you're giving us so much advice there, and there's still more in your book. And one of the things that's really nice in the book is as well is all those personal stories you pulled from real life. What made you decide to include them in the book?
Well, I want people to relate to the principles in a practical way. And I think the only way you can really do that is when you see people put them in action. And I think, well, I can tell you the principles and your mind can go, oh, yeah, I get that. I think there's a big difference in knowing that in your head and seeing how somebody actually applied it to their life. I interviewed 60 people, and I think every one of them has some story or tidbit in the book. And I think that's what really makes it relatable.
Well, it's been amazing hearing about your book. And I do have one final question for you. What would be your top tip for happiness?
If I had to tell people one thing, and I think it's even more important during the pandemic, you don't have to necessarily have a ton of relationships, but those significant relationships are probably the one thing that defines long-term happiness for people. So we all need people in our lives that we really do have a close kindred connection with. And I've met so many people on social media, and some of them I've met in person, and I've created some good relationships with them. But I think sometimes with social media, we've moved to this place that we sometimes think we have significant relationships with everybody when we actually have maybe a lot of acquaintances. If you were arrested and you needed bail money, who would you call? We need those relationships that if you're super sick and you need somebody to bring you chicken soup, who would you call? So if you don't really have one of those or a couple of those in your life, I would say try to start building those relationships.
No, that's amazing advice there. There's been so much information given here. Is there anywhere else we can go for more or to kind of expand our knowledge?
You can always visit the Society's website at sohp.com. And for your audience, if they would like to get our happiness counter, which identifies the 31 types of happiness to help them expand their idea of how big happiness is, if they go to sohp.com/gift, they can download the 31 types of happiness counter.
Practical Happiness, Four Principles to Improve Your Life by Pamela Gail Johnson is now available as an audiobook through Audible and also on Kindle and paperback. So definitely worth checking it out. But for now, it's been so nice chatting with you, Pamela, and so nice having you on the show.
Thank you for having me on the show.
You're listening to The Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio. Don't look at me. A beautiful track from an equally beautiful voice. It's of course Christina Aguilera. Now on the Happy Hour, RNIB Connect Radio's Barry Snell chats to Matthew Alcock, who despite his vision impairment loves nothing more than a sporting challenge.
We know the positive impact sport can have on people's lives and that people with sight loss participate and excel across sports and physical activity at all levels. And one such person is Matt Alcock. Regular RNIB Connect Radio listeners may be familiar with your name from talking about gaming, and we'll touch on that, but
yep,
we're talking sport, and in particular, one that not many blind and partially sighted people are involved in. Tell us more.
So yeah, I'm a keen inline skater. I started off doing it as a child, a teenager. A couple of my friends were involved in it. I picked up the bug and then stopped as a probably 18-year-old. Life got in the way, just kind of pushed it back. And then a couple of months ago, decided that I'd give it a go again after wanting to get fit and get back into something a bit different. And it was a spur of the moment, pair of skates purchased, and I've now got the bruises to prove it.
Tell us about your sight loss then. Does that make rollerblading difficult?
Yeah, I've got nystagmus, which is progressive, so it's getting worse and worse. I was born with delayed visual maturation. Not many people have heard of it. So I was born totally blind, and as I got older, my senses developed, so my eyesight progressed to a point where it got to as good as it was ever going to get due to nerve damage in the brain. And that's it. It was kind of like a right go with it now. You've got this sight, live with it. So I've done that and always tried everything as a kid. Rollerblading, snowboarding, skateboarding, rugby, football, cricket, anything, everything. I never let it stop me. I was quite lucky in that respect. My parents' attitude was, if you want to give it a go, we'll back you. And if you can't do it, at least you've tried.
Now, younger people will be familiar with rollerblading, maybe older people more so with roller skating. Describe the difference, please, because it's a massive difference, and I'm sure it is to balance and stuff like that as well.
Yeah. So skating has got four wheels at four points, like on a car, but inline has got four wheels in a line straight through the middle of the skate. So it requires a bit more balance and technique, to put it bluntly.
And to paint a picture, I suppose it's a bit like an ice skate, if anyone was familiar with that, with the blade that goes underneath.
Yeah, that's exactly, it is, yeah. It's set up exactly the same as an ice skate, but instead of a blade, you've got four wheels.
And you would like to see more people get involved and take this up?
Yeah, it's different. It's just, you shouldn't be able to not do something that you want to get involved in because of a vision impairment. And I think ice skating and rollerblading and things like that are one of them sports that people instantaneously go, no, I can't do that. Due to balance, people, depth perception, whatever. But it's a bit of a learning curve, but you can do it, definitely.
What level are you at the moment?
I'm back to jump and I'm attempting to grind, but it's not going so well. But I've just got to get used to it again.
And do you do it with others as part of a club or is it a bunch of friends?
I'm just doing it on my own at the moment. And I've been put myself in touch with a group of skaters from Cambridge. And in the new year, I'm going over to see them at a skate park just outside of Cambridge to get some advice and some tips and stuff from them.
I mean, is it a grown sport in general?
I don't know. It stayed quite low-key roller skating. Everyone knows about skateboarding because you've got the likes of Tony Hawk's and things like that, but roller skating's kind of a bit under the radar.
That's a good thing. So how would people get involved if they wanted to get in touch with you, for instance, get some advice?
I'm on Instagram as the Wobbly Skater. I'm tracking my progress through an Instagram account. It's all accessible. I'm making sure all the posts have got alternate image description, and I'm not using stories. I'm just posting pictures and videos, all properly described, and it's just probably going to end up next year being a lot of videos of me falling over, so it could be quite funny to just watch them.
Talk about the gaming as well. You're also a gamer.
Yeah, I'm a very keen gamer. I've gamed since childhood. I played Xbox games mainly, tried PC gaming, but it wasn't my cup of tea. So I'm quite keen advocate of gaming accessibility.
Yeah, on the outside for people looking in, and those not in the know like yourself, people think gaming just isn't accessible. They wouldn't even equate that the fact that it can be. How many games are? What were the big games that got you into it in the first place?
I've got quite usable vision, so I'm quite lucky in that respect that I can still play most games, but I still have to have certain accessibility features or tweaks. My setup's quite specific at home. For those that don't know what that means, is that I've got a monitor, chair, desk that's specific, like it works for me with my vision. You'll find that everyone with a vision impairment that games has a different kind of preference of how they play, whether that's a bigger screen, a smaller screen, so they can sit closer and still see the whole screen. It's varied and everyone prefers their different settings and tweaks because each vision impairment's different. No one's the same. And at the moment, I'm kind of campaigning on Twitter. I speak to a couple of large gaming companies, EA, Team 17, that make AAA titles, and I'm discussing accessibility features for their games with them.
Fantastic. Massive companies, EA Sports.
Yeah, so yeah, FIFA's my main game because I'm a huge keen footballer as well. I play for Cambridge United's visually impaired team, as we're talking about sport. And football's always been a big part of my life, and FIFA kind of comes hand in hand with that because it's the biggest selling football game, isn't it?
Now, football and rollerblading, that's all part of staying fit and healthy, being active. But gaming also has mental health benefits as well. Obviously, you don't stay on too long, but too much of anything's
not good for you.
But it stimulates creativity and keep your mind active.
It's a good way for me to stay in contact with my friends because I live quite far away from my friendship group and we still talk regularly through the Xbox, game regularly. And it's a good form of escapism.
Was that one part of your life where lockdown didn't affect too much the gaming world?
Oh, that was huge for me. I wouldn't have made it through lockdown without my Xbox and being able to talk to my friends and still interact with people on a social level while being safe.
What's your social media? How do people get in touch with you?
So on Twitter, I am the Wobbly Gamer with Wobblies, W-O-B-B-L-Y. So it's quite literally just one word, the Wobbly Gamer. And my Instagram is the Wobbly Skater. And it's the same again, Wobbly, W-O-B-B-L-Y Skater.
Well, Matthew, thanks for telling us all about your love of rollerblading. And thanks for your time on RNIB Connect Radio.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Barry for that interesting interview. Holly, I think you know what's coming. We're going to chat about yet another thing. I have a feeling neither one of us has done in a long while. So have you tried rollerblading?
I think I tried it when I was really young. And it's safe to say I wasn't very good at it.
Would you try it now?
Can you imagine what I'd be like on some rollerblades, though?
I don't know. You could be fantastic. I have no idea.
I don't think I would, but thanks for the vote of confidence there. Would you try it?
Absolutely not. I am incredibly clumsy and I have no spatial awareness. I walk into walls and door frames and tables and chairs and everything, and I don't have an excuse. I'm just clumsy and I don't look properly.
Maybe let's put this one on our list of things we won't be trying. But if you'd like to try it, then go for it.
And let us know how you liked it.
Of course. Get in touch. Our email is radio@rnib.org.uk. Now, we still have more to come on the Happy Hour, including our music therapy moment. And for all of us loving a good read, we're going to learn how to use the Orbit Reader to access all of those free electronic books available from RNIB. That's here shortly after ABBA. It's not a brand new track, but something a little bit older.
ABBA and SOS on RNIB Connect Radio. You're listening to The Happy Hour with Paulina and Holly. And now on the show, we're going to hear from RNIB's Technology for Life team, who will walk us through using an Orbit Reader with RNIB's reading services.
Hello, Ben here from the Technology for Life team. Did you know that as well as offering audiobooks on CD, USB and via digital download, RNIB also offers electronic braille, meaning that you can carry around thousands of braille books without needing a small removals team at your disposal. Today I'm going to give you a quick demonstration of how to do this using our reader services platform and an Orbit Reader 20. So our first job is to log into RNIB Reading Services.
Windows D, folder view, list view, Google Chrome, enter. Untitled dash Google Chrome, address and search bar, edit R, home dash reading services, reading services dot rnib dot org dot location from history, 1 of 7.
There we go, it's in my history already. So let's go straight to that.
Enter. Home dash reading services dash Google Chrome will play from where you left off in home dash reading sir home dash reading service.
So now we need to log in.
Cookies help, okay button, search button. Search region, title, author, or ISBN.
Okay, so it's already logged me in, whereas normally, if you're coming to this as new, then you may need to log in with your email address and password. If you're not registered for RNIB Reading Services, please contact us and we can give you more details on how to do so. Let's search for a book then. Let's try a classic, Oliver Twist.
O-L-I-V-E-R, Oliver, T-W-I-S-T, Twist, enter, search button to activate, press enter. Alert, searching title, alert, 3 non-RNI, search results region, show entries, search results, colon. 1220s Judd Street, Lund 1220, copyright 2020, wrapping the top, type search, don't navigate, search, title, format combo, produced by, search button, blank. Searching title, link return to my home, searching title, catalog, dot dot dot.
Okay, so it's still searching at the moment, so we need blank. To wait a little bit
search
longer.
Search button, clear form button. Clear form, search results region, search results colon button to add, grid, Oliver Twist link.
Ah, here we
Oliver
go.
Twist left parent penguin, Oliver Twist link, escape.
So we want to check this is the right one for us. So let's
enter.
Click on this.
Enter. Title details dash reading
here
services cookies help.
So let's check that it's
visited blank.
Braille.
Oliver Twist heading blank. Oliver Twist a criminal street gang. Oliver Twist is an orphan living on the dangerous London streets with no one but himself to rely on. Fleeing from poverty and hardship he falls in with a criminal street gang who will not let him go, however hard he tries to escape. And Oliver Twist apostrophe Dickens graphically conjures up the capital's underworld. Full of prostitutes, thieves and lost and homeless children.
Definitely the right book. Let's check that it's in Braille.
Download title in Braille left parent BRF right parent button.
There we go. That's exactly what we want. So let's download.
Enter complementary region. Download title and braille left parent BRF right parent button to activate present alert. Download alert. Download complete colon Oliver underline twist underline reading underline services underline user underline 100315 underline BRF.zip. Press shift plus F6 to cycle to the downloads bar area.
There we go. That was pretty quick, wasn't it? Let's go and find that. As you heard, it's a zip file. So the first thing we're going to need to do is unzip it.
Windows E. File Explorer. Item. Not. Tree view. Levels. D. Desktop. D. Downloads. Enter. Shell folder view. Last week expand. Today expanded. Oliver underline twist underline reading underline services underline user underline 100.
So to unzip it, we're going to use the applications key. And if you haven't got one of those, Shift and F10 will do the job.
Applications, contact, open a new, convene, share with, extract all, .x.
That's what we want.
Enter, leaving menus, downloads, browse, show, extract button to add, enter, cancel button to activate, press space bar, downloads, items, view, multi-select list box, today expanded, Oliver underline, twist underline, reading underline, services underline, items, view, type, BRF file, one of, Oliver.
That's what we want the BRF file, so it's done that. So now all we have to do is go onto our Orbit Reader. So a couple of points to note. Before you connect the Orbit Reader to your computer, if you haven't got an SD card slot on your computer, you will need to connect to the Orbit Reader directly. And there are a couple of setting changes that we would recommend to make to the Orbit Reader before you do this. So we need to turn the Orbit Reader on. And we go to settings with select an up arrow. Find where it says USB. And I'm just doing this by pressing the up arrow at the moment. Okay, so we are where it says USB. We're just going to press the right arrow to change that setting. And we want it to say mass storage, which it now says. So we're going to press OK to confirm that. And now on the display, it just says mass storage. That's all it says. Mass storage mode. So I'm just going to, I've got one end of the cable plugged into the computer already. I'm just going to plug this one in now.
New notification from autoplay, USB drive left parent F colon right parent. Select what happens with room.
Okay, so it's detected it as a removable drive, a bit like plugging in a USB memory stick. So I'm going to just put this down here. I'm going to find the file.
Task switching, downloads to Oliver, Oliver underline twist underline read. Type compressed left pair, Oliver underline twist, type file folder, one, Oliver,
so we need to
enter,
go into this
Oliver
again.
Under, Oliver under, type BRF.
That's the file we want, so let's copy that.
Copied. Tree view level 2, .e, this PC 2, 3D, desk, document, music, pictures, videos, local disk, DVDR, new volume left parent equal, USB drive left parent F call.
That's the Orbit Reader.
Enter. Items view multi-select list box. Not selected adult. 02 children. IP 3 of 12.
As you can see, I've got
manual,
lots of books on here.
Music 5 of 12.
All my folders that you would normally see on the Orbit Reader
reference,
are here.
6 of 12. Test folder 7 of 12. Ref. IP 3 of 12. Children 2 of 12. Adult 1 of 12.
So let's just put it. We won't put it in any particular folder. We'll just plunk it here for now.
Pasted. 3% complete, 3% complete, copying one item from Oliver underline twist underline reading underline services underline user underline 100315 underline BRF to USB drive left parent F colon right parent dash 0% complete. Pause the operation, checkbox not checked, to check press space bar. USB drive left parent F colon right parent, items view multi-select list box, Oliver underline.
Okay, that's in there now, so we'll just close that window.
Alt F4, file.
And now we'll unplug the Orbit Reader. And we'll go down the list. Okay, the Orbit Reader has become unresponsive at this point, but I think a quick off and on again should fix that. There we go. Yep, let's fix that. So we'll go down. And there we can see it says Oliver Twist. So I'm just going to press select on that. And then it says Oliver Twist. If we keep scrolling, we have the book. Another useful feature you might not know about on the Orbit Reader is a thing called Auto Scroll. And this can be activated just by pressing the spacebar. And then it will automatically scroll your books. That's it. If you need any more information, you can call the RNIB helpline and ask to speak to the Technology for Life team. And that number is 0303 123 9999, or you can email tfl@rnib.org.uk. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Ben, from RNIB's Technology for Life team. We still have some great music coming up on the Happy Hour, plus, of course, today's music therapy moment.
Listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and it's the end of today's happy hour. And of course, that wonderful track there was James Morrison and Wonderful World.
Thanks for keeping us company today, and make sure to check out all our episodes over on the podcast. Just search for RNIB Happy Hour Podcast.
Now, unfortunately, it's time for us to say goodbye now, and to play us out, Barry Snell is returning to introduce today's music therapy moment.
If you'd like to share your most meaningful song with us for our music therapy moment segment, it's quite easy.
Yeah, just drop us a line via email, radio@rnib.org.uk. Find us on social media at RNIB Radio on Twitter and RNIB Connect Radio on Facebook.
That's it from us. Make sure to join us on the next episode of the Happy Hour. We're going to say our goodbyes and let Barry play us out.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Barry, and the song I would like to play is Dakota by Stereophonics. This song reminds me of a brilliant holiday I had in 2011 when I was invited out by a friend to stay with him in Australia. So I had 3 weeks, 2 weeks of which were in Melbourne, and then a week in Byron Bay, which is like an idyllic surfer's paradise further up the coast. And for some reason, this was like an unofficial anthem of the holiday. I kept on hearing it in bars and when I was out and about. And when I listen to it now, it really takes me back to that time with its nostalgic lyrics. And yeah, when life was a bit simpler. So here it is, Stereophonics, Dakota.
Hey, you're listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour-long show. If you're enjoying the songs and would like to hear them in full, along with all the interviews, tips, and our chat, just catch the full show, plus some extra tracks that you might have missed on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. And we have new episodes every other week. But for now, I hope you enjoyed the Happy Hour podcast, and we'll see you on the next episode.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.